From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, Full Moon Friday, open lines. Look out. Here's what's happening. A federal appeals court has ruled that the Transportation Security Administration, you know it as TSA, can still use full body scanners at airports, but the agency erred apparently in how it deployed the controversial machines. The privacy group, the Electronic Privacy Information Center, had sued the TSA, claiming the machines violated Fourth Amendment protections against unreasonable searches. The group further argued that the TSA did not follow the required procedures before making significant policy changes, such as subjecting travelers to the full-body scanners. The three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals in Washington rejected the first argument, concluding that there was no violation on constitutional grounds. But they agreed on the second point, saying that TSA must now go through proper procedures, though the court significantly did not order the agency to stop using the machines at this time. The National Weather Service is predicting another blast of hot weather across the country, sending temperatures in the Midwest and eastern states well above 100 degrees and adding misery to states such as Texas, Oklahoma, already suffering record droughts. Here's Mitch Batras, EarthChangesMedia.com. What are people going to do with all this? How much more can they take, Mitch?
Well, we're pretty resilient, but it is very serious. Now it's going to hit us in the pocketbooks as well. I'm reading that some fuel sources and power has increased, especially in the Midwest. What the good news about all this, if there's something to be found, is that on the national level, really international level, they're starting to turn their attention to predictions and results. Now, that's a great step from, you know, global warming, I'm going to scare you, to let's put that aside, and it's here. We're in a warming trend that's going to be with us for a while. They're predicting this particular heat wave to last maybe just 1 week, which is good news.
That is good.
But still, it goes up to 105 degrees in some areas.
And that's just the temperature. What about the heat index? It's even higher.
Right. You're exactly right, George. Depending on what state it is and humidity and so forth, it can be absolutely miserable. And people that are sensitive to that type of weather certainly need to concentrate and be better prepared, which, again, on the national and international level, they're starting to do, and that's the predictability. And what I mean by predictability is not just scientifically being able to predict warming and cooling trends, but also the infrastructure that's needed to go with it, such as a water surge. They're now very seriously concerned, which would be the next stage, of what they're calling a strong El Nino. But you and I, George, and much of your audience knows that El Nino is just kind of a cute little Peruvian name, which really means warming and cooling trends that's affected by jet streams and ocean currents.
Well, we're going to have to hold on for another heat wave then. Mitch Batras' website, EarthChangesMedia.com. Teenagers, especially girls who binge drink, could be damaging the part of their brain which controls memory and awareness, according to California researchers. Young women's brains are particularly vulnerable to harm from alcohol, they say, because they develop earlier than men's. With just weeks remaining before the debt ceiling deadline, this week in Washington played out much like the 5 days of General Hospital. There were plenty of theatrics, raised voices, name-calling, even a dramatic exit by President Obama. But by Friday, nothing important had been resolved. Howard Bloom, he monitors all these things. He's on the phone. Howard, what's happening now?
This is the most serious crisis in economics that one of the most serious we've seen in our lifetime. It's the most serious since September of 2008. We are playing hardball with a nuclear hand grenade. If we lose the confidence of the world, if we collapse world confidence, if we cause a panic, which we're on the verge of doing, we will have consequences unlike anything we imagine. We will nearly triple the unemployment rate from 9.2% to 25%. We will create a 10-year depression instead of a 3-year recession. Debt will double. Tens of thousands of banks and businesses, small and large, will collapse. It'll be like the real depression in 1929 did not happen in 1929. It happened in 1931, 2 years later.
That's right. It happened
because of a dominant worldwide credit collapse, the kind of thing called a panic, when people start losing their minds. And tens of thousands of banks in the United States alone went out of business. People could not get the money to pay for their groceries, much less the money to pay for their rent. And that's the kind of thing that we're playing around with. If we don't come to a quick resolution of this thing and keep America far, far, far away from default, because if America defaults, then Greece, Spain, Portugal, Ireland, they will all go, and Germany, which is supporting all of those countries, will go down as well.
But, Howard, this is only short-term anyway. They don't even have a plan for the long-term. They're just hoping that this will get us to the 2012 election.
Well, they have to get us past this particular speed bump, because this particular speed bump could blow up the car.
Absolutely. Howard, thank you so much. Howard Bloom. Up next, we're going to be talking about earthbound spirits, ghosts, with who but Marianne Winkowski on Coast to Coast AM. Well, if you're a regular listener to Coast AM, you know the name Marianne Winkowski. If you're brand new to the show, let me tell you about her. She's met with hundreds of earthbound spirits. Marianne uses special releasing talents on spirits attached to people, places, and things. The information that Marianne gets from the spirits has been historically verified in case after case, and experts like the FBI claim that she is the real deal. Marianne's lectures are standing room only. She also worked on the television show Ghost Whisperer. Here she is back. If I had a drum roll, Marianne, I'd be doing it right now. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. So is there life after Ghost Whisperer?
There is, believe it or not.
Since we last talked, which was several months ago, what other projects have you been jumping in on?
You know, there's things in the works. Everybody wants to get into reality TV and this kind of thing. So there's some things, you know, out there, but who knows? You know Hollywood. You can't count on anything.
You're dabbling a little bit?
A little bit. I've got a new book coming out. And you know what? The house is... I could do those 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
Well, we're going to talk about that, and also how this started when you were a little girl. But rumor time, are you moving from Ohio to California?
Well, our condo is for sale, and who knows how long with the economy that'll take to happen. But once it does, depending on what's happening with the job situation or movies or whatever, could be.
All right. Well, I'm sure you'll let us know.
I will.
And we definitely want to talk with you for a full program, Marianne, when the new book comes out.
Great.
Okay, let's go back to Marianne, the little girl. The little girl who people invited to funerals.
Right.
Tell us why.
Well, I could see and talk to their relative that died. And my grandmother would take me because she had the special granddaughter that could see and talk to, you know, the aunt, the uncle, the mom, or the dad that had just died. And they could ask any kind of question they wanted, and as long as the dearly departed told me, I would tell them.
Did they think there's something wrong with this little girl, or were they, you know, pretty excited about this?
You know, you're talking 60 years ago, and most of the people... These were people that were from Europe. These were people that were from Italy. These were people that, this is a way of life over there. This wasn't crazy like America thought it was crazy. And so Americans still think it's crazy. But, and so it was like, there was always the lady in the village in Europe in any of the small towns that had the gift to either put the curse on, take the curse off, talk to somebody that died. It was just the way it was done. And here was this little girl that was here, and she could do it too. And, you know, how amazing was it?
Was this genetic? Anybody else in your family have this gift?
Grandma had the ability that if somebody died back in their home village, that she would dream of them or get know who it was. And when people settled here in the Cleveland area, you know, there were pockets of Irish people, Polish people, Italian people. So she'd get up in the morning and she'd go across the street and she'd go, "Hey, Rose, your brother Luigi died last night." And 6-7 weeks later, the photo would come of him laid out in the living room. Yep, Luigi died. Well, Grandma would know ahead of time. And so it was like progression. And then out of our two daughters, our youngest one can do it. the older one wishes she could.
Yeah.
And the younger one wishes she didn't.
Yeah, I still refer a lot of people to your website because they still have haunted houses and they don't know what to do about it.
And there definitely are things that people can do on their own. And definitely things that they should not do on their own, because a lot of times they're just going to feed an earthbound spirit the energy that they're craving. And, you know, I thought about this a couple of weeks ago. When I run across a ghost that died late 1800s, early 1900s, mm-hmm. they're very simple people.
Not violent?
No, they're very, very down to earth. Very, well, think about pioneers, okay? You know, but in the last year and a half, it is amazing the attitudes that these ghosts have now.
What's happening?
They want to get even. They're going to fix it. They're going to show them. They're going to do this. They have bad attitudes. They're not the devil. They're not demons. And, you know, people always go right there, and that's not the case. But, you know, if this was somebody that was, oh, a gangbanger or a pedophile or a rapist when they were alive.
You could understand that.
Yes. And this is, and they're carrying this on as an earthbound spirit.
Well, it's funny you say that because at about that time period, I started noticing people acting the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Not spirits, which you see, but people, which I see. And, I mean, whacked out, uptight, rude. Not everybody, Marianne, you know that.
Of course not.
But a lot of people about 2 years ago, I've been talking about it for 2 years now on this program, and more people are beginning to send me emails or call the program and say, "George, you're right. It's all over the place." We, you know, even devoted some open lines to it last week about this. It's ironic that I would see that and you would see that in the spirit world.
Well, Ed, but it makes sense. When you die and you don't cross over, you have the same personality you had when you were alive, the same attitude and everything. And so if these people were like that alive, they're going to be like a dead. But I've got more people, I've got more earthbound spirits just glaring at me or you know, putting their hands on their hips and going, "Yeah, knock it off my shoulder." You know, they're just, it's just amazing. And people that died recently, like in the 90s, that have not crossed over, they don't even think it's any big deal that they're dead and stuck. It's like, "Oh, okay. So what?
No big deal."
It's no big deal.
I had a guest on this week. It was a good guest. Skeptical, but a good guest. And I think it's healthy to bring other perspectives to the program. But does not believe in the afterlife. He believes that something has happened, but he doesn't believe what you and I believe. And, mm-hmm. you know, I got his views on the program, and we took calls, And again, he was a very good guest and he's a good guy, but he does not believe in the other side. How do you convince people like that
well,
what you've seen is real?
This is the thing, and I still get invited to so many funerals, and of course, I have to be invited. I just don't show up at the local
funeral parlor. You don't read the obit columns and then show up, right?
No, absolutely not. And actually, one of the rules is you have to be an immediate family member to even contact me. You cannot believe how many nosy neighbors there are.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point.
So, but at any rate, the funerals where the people will start out when I call them back to get the information. It's like, well, first of all, you have to understand our family's a little strange and this probably isn't going to be a normal funeral. Well, first of all, there's no such thing as a normal funeral. I mean, what's normal? But when they tell me that they were either an atheist or an agnostic and they believed in nothing, and it's like, wow, okay, these are the funerals that I, and love is putting it, I enjoy going to that type of funeral because there the person is standing at the foot of their casket, absolutely flabbergasted that they are still there in spirit form because they believed there was nothing.
That's something.
And they're there. And and very honestly, the bright white light is right there. And at that point, they're pretty scared about going into that light at that point.
Well, you know, so many people witness so many strange things. Mm-hmm. And yeah, some of them are probably figments of their imagination, products of their brain. But a lot of them, I think, are real paranormal experiences that they cannot explain. You know, the dead grandmother who shows up at the foot of the bed.
Yeah.
The strange phone call from someone on the other side and things like that. And I'm a believer
in
the ability to communicate with these entities.
It happens.
So, you know, there's got to be something to it. And, you know, I think if you took a poll, more than most would say, yes, there's something on the other side, don't you think?
Oh, I think the percentages are way higher than they were even 5 years ago. I think more and more people believe it every day. I did a house yesterday, and I knew that the man was, you can be here because the little wife is going to feel better. But, you know, not me.
Yeah, take us through a situation where you get that call. What do you do?
Okay.
On a physical presence when you show.
Right. She called me up and she says, I think I have something in my house. I could see the inside of her house, which told me that she did. I explained where the ghosts were standing. There were two of them. And she said, oh, gosh, I have to talk it over with my husband. I said, fine, of course. She called me back and she said, yeah, he doesn't believe, but he said, if it's going to make me feel better, you can come out. And I says, all right. And I said, is he going to want to be there? And she said, yeah, but I think he'll be here. I said, okay. So I go out. He was not there. But he came in after I was almost done. And he just stood against the sink and listening to what I was telling the wife. And it was really funny because I looked at him and I said, gosh, I said, I have to tell you, I says, this one ghost came with you from a previous address. He's been following you for a number of years. And he just looked at me, and he said, what's his name? And I told him. He says, I don't know anybody by that name. And I says, really, most people don't know who their ghosts are. It's usually a total stranger. Your own relative wouldn't do this to you. And he said, huh. And I gave him the street address and the address of where the ghost came from. That man owned that house at one point.
Wow. Did that stop him in his tracks?
Right then. Yep. And I said, the house was built in the early 30s. He goes, yeah. I says, well, that makes sense. I says, this guy died in 1941.
Ooh, that's chilling. I want to talk about demons in a moment
okay.
when we come back. So when's the new book out and what's it going
it's
to be called?
It's coming out September 13th, and it's a recipe book.
A recipe book?
And all 100 recipes in it are from ghosts.
How to serve a ghostly recipe.
Right, beyond delicious.
Now that would be interesting. Anybody we know?
No, just regular people that it was either somebody they knew or somebody that they asked for. One ghost went and got an aunt, a dead aunt that hadn't crossed over from a cousin's house so she could get a cookie recipe.
I hope it's not a recipe from a ghost who was bumped off by eating bad food.
I don't think so. Every recipe's been tested.
Good. Stay with us. We're going to come back in a moment with Marianne Winkowski. We're going to talk about demons and some other things that she's working on. Next hour, We'll take your phone calls with her about these ghostly stories before we have our Full Moon Friday open lines. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, next week I'm planning to interview actor Gary Sinise about his foundation, his work with veterans and first responders. And I'm taping it in just a small portion of it, and I'm going to play it back sometime next week. Supposed to do that on Monday. Great actor, Lieutenant Dan, and I'll tell you all about that and his band and the things he's been doing with his foundation to help veterans and first responders. Really, really marvelous job. We're going to come back in a moment with Marianne Winkowski. We're going to talk about demons and some other apparitions. Next hour, we'll open up the phone lines. You can ask her a question or give us a story. And we shall be right back on Coast to Coast AM. Marianne, demons. What are they? And how do we separate demons from ghosts?
I would classify a demon as the devil. That's and however you would picture it, you know, everybody's got their own description of what the devil looks like. But the earthbound spirits that I have run across definitely have demon-like qualities, which means they were very, very terrible people when they were alive. And, as I said before, they're getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
I did a couple of kids that came home, that were home on leave from college, and these girls had been into a little bit of a
mischief,
witchcraft, Satanism, that type of thing.
Ouija board stuff?
Mm-hmm. And when you say prayers, you're asking guidance from angels, saints, people like that. When people are on the other end of that spectrum, and they're asking for a certain boyfriend or money or material things, they are praying to people that are not from the light. And like our wishes can be answered through prayer, their wishes can be answered through their devotions to whoever it is that they're asking for, you know, to help with. And they get in them, they get so deep into this stuff that these spirits are pretty nasty that are hanging around these kids.
You are generally pretty upbeat. Every time I've interviewed you over the years, you're positive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take these ghostly stories and you run with it and stuff. Are you uncomfortable talking about demons?
I don't like it, and it's starting to worry me that so many kids, and I'll use that, young adults are actually messing around with this stuff.
They seem to enjoy it.
They do. They like the power that they get from it.
Is it because of movies like Twilight and things like that where, you know, you depict vampires? And is it becoming something romantic for them?
I think there is some romance with it, and I think it's, but mostly I think it's a power trip.
Or is the devil really doing
And I think the last spirit that I saw that was involved in something like this, I don't think they were ever from the light to begin with.
No, probably not.
No. And so, you know, the old saying, be careful what you wish for, you might get it.
But demons generally weren't spirits of dead humans.
No, they were not.
They were always in a class by themselves, right?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And that's why I'm saying these are not demons that these kids are messing around with, or that people are, you know, that I'm seeing now in some of these instances. But they still were used in, maybe they were devil followers, or, you know, the angels that were thrown out of heaven. Who knows what they were? But they're not from the light. They're very black. They're very negative.
What would you recommend? You know, parents can't really talk to their kids these days. They won't listen. So if there are younger people listening, and there are, what would you tell them directly?
I think they really need to be very aware of their circle of friends. I don't think kids make good choices anymore when it comes to who they want to be like. And maybe that is the movies. Maybe that is the vampire stuff. You know, I did a house not that long ago where her boyfriend thought he was a vampire. He actually had something that looked blood-like as a drink in the refrigerator.
Though it probably wasn't.
No, I said blood-like looking. I'm sure it wasn't. But this kid had his teeth filed.
A lot of people are doing that. I mean, I know some dentists who say people come in and they actually want those little fang caps put on their teeth, glued on and everything.
That's right. He did. But beside that, she was into a little bit of this calling up negative energy.
Black magic.
Exactly. And she had one in there that was, it was a very, in this particular case, it was very sexual. And that just, I mean, it's like, okay, you called it up, it's living in your house. Okay. But what happens when that thing decides to go into the neighbor's house next door that has, a 12-year-old and a 10-year-old? Give me a break.
Do you remember the movie Poltergeist? The little lady there that was there to cleanse and
right?
get
your
rid
house
of the poltergeist.
Is now clean.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
In one of the scenes, she was telling, I guess, the mother and the little girl, who the mother went in to get the little girl, right, into
yes.
the, you know, the other side.
Right.
And she yelled up, don't go into the light. Don't go into the light. Like she was protecting her. And then toward the end of that scene, she was screaming, go into the light. And then the father went nuts and he pulled
the
down
cord.
That cord down or whatever that
mm-hmm,
thing
rope.
Was.
Mm-hmm.
Why did she tell her to go into the light?
I never understood why she told her not to go to the light unless she was trying to trick whoever was trying to keep her there. That was the only thing I could ever figure out.
See, I thought by going into the light meant that you were going into the other side, like heaven.
And dying.
And you die.
Ah.
Is that possible?
You could be right. Maybe that's exactly what she was
But I don't know why she changed her mind.
I don't either.
She went from saying, don't go into the light, to go into the light. Almost like she got possessed or tricked.
Right. Well, again, that's Hollywood for you.
Yeah.
I met when we were out there, he thought he was impressing me. He was one of the producers on the, or directors or something with the Amityville.
Horror, yeah.
Yes. And so he says, I was one of the directors, producers on that. And I said, really? I says, I need to know something. He said, what? I said, why did you have flies in the attic? And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, do you know how much grief that gives me? Every time somebody finds big flies in their attic, they think they have ghosts. I says, I have to tell them I don't do flies, get an exterminator. I says, why did you do that? He said they had 17 seconds to fill, so they put flies in the attic.
That's a good point.
See,
so Hollywood does it again.
And people take it to heart.
Yep.
If it's on TV, if it's in the movies, it must be true.
Tell me a little, and by the way, one of my friends was one of the writers on Poltergeist. I gotta get him on the program and ask him why they did that.
Find out.
Mark Victor's his name. The possession mm-hmm. is done by demons or ghosts?
No. Well, there's a couple different ones now, okay? If it's a full-fledged possession, then that is done by a demon. That would definitely be a demon. And a person to get a possession like that has to be, to get either kind of the other one is called a walk-in, where an earthbound spirit just walks into your body and shares your body with you. But a possession is definitely... That is definitely a negative entity that is in a person when they are possessed.
If people are negative,
mm-hmm.
what happens to them? What do they open up? What kind of a portal do they create?
They can open up portals, and your normal earthbound spirit is just going to walk right through your front door. The door doesn't have to be open, but they're going to come in through the front door, the patio door. Don't use windows. They use doorways. But if something negative happened in your house, say something violent happened, somebody was murdered in the house, not to somebody just dying a natural death, but somebody was murdered, maybe there's a lot of alcoholism in the house or drug abuse in the house, spousal abuse, anything that is very negative like that can literally blow open a portal in a house. And a portal is an energy opening that earthbound spirits use. Now, the little sweet old lady ghost that walks in through your front door isn't going to use a portal. But the spirits that come in and out of a portal, they're the ones that were either murderers when they were alive, they were murdered, they were in gangs, they were rapists, they were pedophiles. People or earthbound spirits that use a portal are nasty.
Those kinds of people who lived that kind of life on this planet and then they died, some people will say, well, their soul will get cleansed, they'll get purified. I think not. Do you believe in reincarnation?
I do. I know I'm not supposed to.
Well, I do. I do, too. So what would happen to those spirits of the pedophiles and the serial killers and people like that?
I was actually at a funeral for a person that was put to death by the state. He did heinous things, horrible things.
Lethal injection, no doubt.
Yep. Right? Okay. And there he was standing at the foot of his casket with the bright white light right there. So it makes no difference how bad the person is when they're alive. They still have the white light available to them.
Available to them.
Right.
But not all of them take it.
That's correct. And for any number of reasons. But once they go into that light, in Marianne's world, somebody's standing there that I can't see with the clipboard deciding where you're going. Because these people... You know, I can't believe everyone's going to heaven or whatever you perceive that to be.
If they get reincarnated, do those people come back a little better than when they left?
Yes, because I think if they go in, now, people that do bad things...
They don't come back worse, do they?
No, no, but they're going to have to live through what they did.
Maybe they become a victim.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or if they maim somebody or... let's say they shook a baby and the baby is mentally handicapped for the rest of its life. Maybe they will come back with a handicap.
Of everything you've done, what do you find to be the most challenging for your work?
You know, George, the ghosts are really never the problem. It's the living.
It's the living. Always has been.
Yes. Always. I just, you know, it's, like I said, and it looks like that might be changing because of the attitude that a lot of these ghosts have. You know, like I said, in the last year, year and a half, that their attitudes have just gotten so ridiculous. But again, I'm dealing with now ghosts that died closer to this time. And people, like you said, people are changing, so of course the ghosts are going to be changing.
You are not afraid of the other side?
Oh, never. Never have been.
One day, you're going to pass over onto the other side.
Mm-hmm.
You've dealt with a lot of entities. I hope you've been good to all of them. Because what if you haven't been?
You know what? That thought has crossed my mind more than once.
You know, it's like a cop who ends up going to prison.
That's right.
In the same prison that he had everybody arrested.
Right. That's just, I've thought about that more than once.
Are you concerned about it?
No, because if they're in the white light, then they've already learned. You know, because somebody, I mean, they've already have some knowledge on what they've done wrong. Otherwise, they wouldn't be there. But the interesting thing is, I did, one of the young men from this area was killed in the war. And so I had to go to his funeral. Or I was invited to his funeral.
That's sad.
And, yeah, it was terrible. He was a Marine, and he's standing there at the foot of his casket, and he's not going to go in the light. He's not crossing over. He's going to go back with his brothers. He's going to, oh, boy.
Semper Fi, he's going back.
He's going back. You betcha. And so I said, did you look in the light? He goes, no, I don't want to see in the light. And I says, don't you think you should look in the light? He says, no, no. I says, look at your mom over there. Look at your wife. I said, do me just one favor. I says, I can't make you go. It's your choice whether you go or not. I says, but would you look in the light and at least tell me who you see so I can tell your mom and your dad and your wife? And he just sort of looked at me, and he said, fine. And he looks in the light, and the transformation on his face was amazing. And I said, what? Because I can't see anybody that's crossed over, so I don't know what he's seeing. And I said, what? What are you seeing? And he said, oh, wow. I said, what? And he says, Grandpa was a Marine. And I said, okay. He said,
perfect.
Where did Grandpa find all those Marines? He says, they're all standing there saluting me. I said, really? He goes, oh, yeah, I better go.
And off he went.
Yeah, and he did go. And I did tell his mother about it. And she says, he's right. My father was a Marine. She says, and that would have been the only trick to get him to cross over. That's
man, what a great story.
Mm-hmm.
Who has been the most interesting earthbound spirit that you've ever encountered? Ever.
I like Shakespeare's daughter. She was pretty cool.
Shakespeare had a daughter?
He had twins. I didn't know that until I ran into one of his twins.
Yeah. What did they say about Dad?
They said that he was brilliant, but he was very aloof, and that he was, and they had...
He didn't steal
the Queen's
place,
English though. Was very hard for me to understand because it was very proper, and they used, well, even, you know, people from Britain and London use words that don't make any sense to me anyway. But they, and she was here with a leather-bound manuscript of her father's that somebody had bought at an auction.
That's
and that's
amazing.
What she was attached to.
Huh. So wherever that manuscript went?
That's where she was.
That's where she was.
Yes. So
that's
she was
cool.
Interesting. That was probably actually the oldest spirit that I'd ever run across.
Can you go to any spirit you want, or do they just come to you?
No, I can't call them. And
you can't say, I want to go talk to Houdini. Or...
No, no. I've had people that have tried. I don't know how to call a ghost.
Okay. So you're not... The James Von Prague medium.
No, because, and you know, and he's cool because he can talk to ones that have crossed over.
Yeah.
So he can call those kind. I can.
So once they cross over, you can't get to them.
Nope. No, but then he can't talk to the ones I see.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, that's why you two are a pair.
That's right.
Marianne, give us your website.
MarianneWinkowski.com.
Go and take a look at all the things that Marianne does. We're going into some incredible times on this planet right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I think people need hope. They need to look toward the future, and they need to believe. If you met someone who is a total skeptic, what would you say to them to make them feel a little better about life after death?
Well, you know, there isn't any kind of Bible, if any denomination does not say that you don't die, that there isn't life. But they're talking in the spiritual sense, a biblical sense mm-hmm. of that. But I don't think it's my job to try to convince people that there is life after death. I think that when the time is ready, they will, you know... Either they will see people themselves right before they die that are waiting for them, which is very common. Hospice nurses have great sources of information. They can tell you all kinds of stories about that. And I think that when a person has elder parents and the elder parents start talking about seeing their parents or their brother that died in World War I or whatever, I think it's a matter of just getting enough information and getting to somebody on the right day at the right time.
And belief, too. When we come back, we're going to take your phone calls with Marianne Winkowski. Then later on tonight, it's Full Moon Friday. Open lines. I'm George Norrie, and you are listening to Coast to Coast AM.